to go ahead. I think we've got everyone from the panel who needs to join, who's joined. So what I will do is I will make a start and just run everyone through the schedule for today. So we all sort of know the order of events, and I'll also introduce our panel and everyone who's joined in to chat. So I'm just going to share my screen. Hopefully everyone can see that. So just to take you through the schedule for today, so welcome to all our panelists. So we've got from the MCA, we've got Brian Johnson, who's the CEO, who's joined us. Ajit Jacob, who's Chief Examiner for Seafarer Services. Greg Wheatson, who's Engineer Examiner. Adam Jackson, who's the Head of Large Arts Services. So that's the group from the MCA. And you can see on the side there, we've allocated 5 minutes to each of the MCA reps just to give us a bit of an update. And then moving on, we've got Richard Falk, who's Director of Training and Qualifications from the RYA, who's joined us as well. And then finally, we've got Joey Mean, who's looking after interior training at IME. So thanks to Joey for joining as well. And then finally, at the end of the webinar, we'll just end off with some questions. So what we've done is before the webinar today, we've invited all the attendees to send through their questions. So we'll run through some of those pre-sent questions. And anybody who'd like to ask a question, feel free to add that to the chat in the webinar. And I'll pick that up at the end and I can discuss that with the panelists as well. So I'll stop sharing my screen. And what I'll do, just to kick off the webinar, so for those of you who have joined and aren't aware of the PYA, I'll give everyone a little bit of an overview of the PYA, and then we can move into the MCA to start giving in their individual updates. So everyone knows, my name is Stacey, and I'm the communications manager at the PYA. And just to give everyone a bit of a brief background about the PYA, so for those of you who don't know, this Sea Changes event we normally host at the Monaco Yacht Show each year. This year it was scheduled to run at the Palmer Boat Show, but unfortunately due to the sort of way things have turned out in 2020, we've obviously had to move this event online. So thank you to everyone who's joined us today. The PYA has been around since 1991. We're a not-for-profit organization run by a lot of current and ex-crew. We look after a number of different services for the yachting industry for crew. So one of those services is sea service verification. We have our service record book where we verify sea time for yacht crew. We also process yacht rating certificates for crew and assist with applications for COCs and NOEs. We also offer a lot of advice on training and provide crew with a lot of personalized advice on their contracts and crew rights and any disputes that they have with regards to their employment. And then lastly, we function on a membership basis. So today we'll be offering all attendees a special membership discount. So during the deconfinement until the end of June, we're running a discount for anyone who would like to become a member. So I'll add the discount code in the chat. It's DCONF20, but I'll add that to the chat. So anyone who'd like to become a member, feel free to do that. And then just lastly, as part of my introduction, I'd just like to say that we're running a survey at the moment for crew. So if you're a crew member who's dialed in, we're looking to find out what crew are struggling with in terms of their contracts. Do they have a contract? What are the terms of your contract? And just find out general details around contracts, because that's something we're going to be help develop for the industry in the coming year. So we'll send a link to that survey in the chat as well. So please feel free to take part in that. So what I'll do is I'll hand over to our first panelist from the MCO. So Brian, you're the CEO of the MCO. Would you like to make a start on just providing a little bit of an introduction and update on how the MCA has been functioning during the COVID-19 crisis, and sort of what are your latest sort of updates for crew and the year ahead?
Yes, thank you very much, and really appreciate the opportunity to be on this webinar today. Thank you. And I suppose I was reflecting before this afternoon on those of you who are, a lot of you who are listening in today, and this must have been a real roller coaster season for a lot of you, with summer season on, summer season off, and for some of you, summer season on again. Just wanted to acknowledge just how challenging that must have been for you all. I think it's been an interesting time for the MTA, still very much open for business. I think really fascinating to see the UK response to the COVID crisis, where I get a real sense in the broad maritime sector that we've pretty much led the world on supporting different parts of the maritime sector with regulation, operating guidance, support of operators, and support of seafarers, particularly those covered by the MLC. And for me, it's just helping to illustrate how the UK flag that we run is a flag of real substance with capability underneath it and not just a flag for the good times. I'm relatively new to the maritime sector, so I thought it might be just helpful to spend a minute on some impressions over the last year and a half since I've been in. And first of all, I'll talk about the broad maritime sector, and then let's maybe focus in a little bit on large yachts. I'd say overall maritime sector, one of the things that's interested me is how resistant the overall sector is to change. It's quite difficult to make change happen. I think that's an area where large yachts are a big exception, actually, and that's interesting. In the training arena, too much of it seems to be based on length of experience and not enough on competency demonstrated. And it feels as if there's some change that is needed there. And I think things like the oral exams are very robust, but there's other aspects of training in the sector that really is due for a big update. And I think given the UK's leading position in maritime training, one of the things I've really, with the team in the MCA, been majoring on over the last year is thinking about how we can stimulate that change happening and keep UK training at the forefront. And why is all of that necessary? Well, I guess the future holds for all shipping much, much more automation. And you guys, the large yacht sector, tend to be early adopters for this. What you're working with is changing all the time. Decarbonisation's massive. And again, I think broader maritime is taking some time to change. I can see large yachts being, again, some of the very, very early adopters in this. And there are none of the fuels being proposed which are easy to use. They're all more challenging than what we're used to using and require different engineering and different operational standards. So I think that's going to both change the breadth of education that we need to provide for seafarers and also change how adaptable seafarers are going to have to be in their knowledge of the sector. So one of my bets is we'll be into a regime of requalifying every few years because technology is changing so fast in the same way that airlines do. I think that's coming and coming quickly. And I think, again, reflecting prior to this afternoon, making this all happen within the large yacht sector is a great trial space for it, because here is the technically innovative part of the maritime sector as a whole. Just wanted to finish off with a couple of other things. I think first to say, MTA is very much open for business. We're encouraging training establishments to do more online training. Oral exams are now being done online, and we'll shortly be introducing some testing that will help you and also help us to check out whether you're ready for sitting oral exams. That has a benefit to everyone, because what it's going to do is reduce waiting lists for all oral exams. So I think that's going to be a really important step forwards for us. Ajit and I have been talking about some sort of short-term tactical evolution of training. I think particularly in improving our ability to move between different types of qualifications, making the route map for that much clearer, much more straightforward. And within the MCA, really digitizing some pretty clunky processes that we've got. Our seafarer training team still has a lot of filing cabinets, a lot of paper flying around the place, and I suspect you see that in some of the correspondence that we have. It's not as slick as it could be. So the team's working very hard on that. In the longer term, though, I think slightly more strategic stuff, see updating STCW to reflect that need for adaptability that I talked about and technology change. I can see us making much, much more use of simulator time in the future and focusing more on those skills demonstrated in that simulator time. There's a Maritime Skills Commission being set up in the UK. We're part of it, very much part of it. And the whole purpose of that is to look at maritime training within the UK and make sure it's really up to what the needs of the future are. And finally, last word is playing our part to influence the shape of future IMO perspectives on training. So that was really all I had to say. For me, this is actually a massive topic in the MCA. So I'm going to be fascinated to hear what questions come out later. Thank you.
Brilliant. Thanks, Brian. Just to let everyone know, we'll be picking up on some of the questions that are being sent through in the chat at the end of the webinar. John Wyborn from the PYA has also joined. Sorry, John, I didn't introduce you at the beginning, but John's one of the PYA executives. So he'll help us also shoot through some of the questions at the end of the webinar. Brilliant. Okay. So what we'll do is we'll just move on to Ajit Jacob, who's Chief Examiner for Seafarer Services. Ajit, what update do you have at the moment? Ajit, I think your microphone is just on mute.
Yes, muted. Thank you. So thanks for giving us the opportunity to speak. Brian touched on the high-level perspective from MCA. So this has been extremely challenging times, especially for the maritime training sector. And the key goal for us have been to ensure that the training continues and the seafarers are able to get their COC. So as and when the opportunity arises, they can continue with their employment. So that's been the key, and we have been trying to facilitate that. We have been leading in terms of providing guidance note, which has been used by other administrations across Europe. We have produced MIN 611 for training and 612 for survey of ships, which I'm sure you all know about. So what I would like to give a bit more insight into what it actually entails, especially for the yachting sector. So we have, in the last few weeks, received various proposals for delivering training using web platforms, so which we have looked at and many we have approved, which means that the training can be delivered through media platforms, be it Zoom or Teams. And similarly, the assessment can be done in a slightly flexible manner. So it's for the training providers to propose to us, and we have sent out college letters and sent out approvals where the training and assessment have been approved. So that forms the bare bones of the qualification. There are ancillary qualification and in terms of short courses, and that's more of a challenge. Some of the short courses can be done using web platforms. Again, in the link to MIN 611, we have given the procedure for the training providers to propose to us how they can deliver the training using an online platform. So what we have done, we have looked at the proposals. We have once the agreement was sent by the MCA examiner, then what we did is we logged on and we observed the course, sampled the course, and we gave an interim approval for the course to be delivered on a web platform. So the concern from a chief examiner's perspective for me is there are some courses that have to be done before a seafarer boards a vessel. And these courses are the firefighting, the PST, lifeboat and the medical courses as well. So these courses are the ones which include the practical aspects which cannot be delivered online. So for that, our guidance has been, because each administration has got different guidance for social distancing and the challenges are different across various nations. So what we've said is follow your administration guidance as to whether you can run the course or not, because MCA cannot give a standard line as to whether MCA is happy to for you to run the course or not, because we do not know. Because if we follow the government guidance, we would want you to follow your respective government guidance and go ahead. So the criteria is in the MNTB document. Obviously, we want you to follow that. But when it comes to the health and safety aspects regarding to COVID, it's you, it's the training provider's responsibility to have the health and safety measures in place in line with the government advice. So with respect to IME exams, my understanding is it has been going around, going as normal across the globe. So there has been no delay with respect to that. Engineering exams are due to happen, IME exams next month. And I think there will be further information released on that. That's in place. Brian mentioned about us, the online exams. So just to give a bit more details, we have already started doing engineering oral exams. We are clearing the backlog now. Candidates are being contacted and given three options which they can choose from, and the exam is done using Microsoft Teams. Subsequent to that, we will be starting DEC oral exams soon. The slight delay is because for the nautical exams, as you will know, we have to ask scenario-based questions for collision regulations and voyage. So we have to produce slides for that, which are being produced as we speak, and then there will be animated scenarios that will be given to the candidate through Microsoft Teams, so using this screen share facility. So the positive thing about it is the candidate would not have to leave home for doing that. They can do it from anywhere. So that's being done, and we expect that to commence, the nautical exams to commence sometime in June, end of June. But again, we will confirm the date through a notice just prior to that being ready. Also, touching on from what Ryan has said, the maritime industry has been relying on the length of sea time for a long, long time. That can be good, but at some time, on some instances, although a personnel have served for a long, long time, but their knowledge is not up to what would have been expected due to the training or due to the training they received on board, the onboard training that they received. So to ensure consistency and to ensure that the competency requirements are met, what we said is we will allow different sort of sea time, equivalence to sea time, which would be through simulator training. So we have approved the simulator training route through MNTB. So it's with MNTB to be produced. To start with, because it's a pilot project, the colleges will be delivering that. And what it says is we give a week's training would be equivalent to 4 weeks of 3 weeks of sea time in lieu of a week's training in the simulator. Up to a maximum of 2 months sea time can be done in simulator. That will eventually be rolled out for yachts as well. Again, regarding transferability, we will want the yacht qualifications not to be only be used for yacht. If need be, they should be able to proceed further. So hence, we are developing what is known as a foundation course for deck officer. That's mainly for the bigger yachts. That would give them the opportunity to progress and to for sideways movement to other sectors. That is in no way replacing the RYA route or anything. The RYA will be able to deliver that as well if need be. So it's just a foundation course. Again, it's early days, but we will have the details, you know, as and when we finalize that and we'll discuss that with the stakeholders. I expect more questions from you. I won't talk much because I would rather spend the time answering questions that any of the delegates have. So that's from my side. Thank you.
Brilliant. Thanks, Ajit. And I think there were some important updates on there. I think at the end, there are definitely some questions which you did touch on, which have answered those questions. But what we'll do is we'll run through them anyways at the end, and you can just clarify all of those points. So I'll just move on quickly, because I know time's ticking on. Moving on to Greg Weaston, who's the engineer examiner at the MCA. Greg, I know you're just joining us via voice call. Do you have any updates to provide in addition to what Ajit has just said?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Updates would be, for the yachting sector, would be that MIN 524 small vessel route has been rewritten, re-examined, and is going to be put out to stakeholders for feedback this year. As well as that, we've developed an MIN 524 small vessel frequently asked questions document, which deals with many of the frequently asked questions that people like the PYA ask us about that route. We tidied up the approved engine course 1 and 2 in terms of qualifications for examiners and assessors and equipment needed. And at the moment, that syllabus has been populated to stakeholders, and we're getting feedback and we're getting people applying for reapproval using the new syllabus. We're just dealing with that at the moment. We had, in terms of small vessel engineering and yacht engineering classroom courses, we were approached by a couple of training providers who applied to get online approval for delivery, and they were both approved. So those are the updates. Initially, I was told, briefed on just talking a bit about propulsion changes. And I'd like to touch on something that Brian started off talking about, changes in fuels. And that's something the private yacht sector's got to look at rather quickly, because I can see the scenario where diesel fuel, which we've been used to for so many years, is going to become, if you like, not available for propulsion. So we're so used to on our super yachts, et cetera, of having medium speed or high speed diesels, burning a light distillate fuel and giving us our power and our electricity. That's going to have to change. If we keep the piston engine, which I think we will, if we keep the piston engine, we'll have to change the fuel. The only fuel you're going to have available for that really is going to be ammonia, which if you think about ammonia in terms of being close to passengers and keep being on a relatively small hull, that's going to need a lot of thinking about in terms of the way that the plant is run, in the way that the fuel is stored. So you're going to have to think about things like that for the future. I think that's about all I've got to say, actually, in terms of updates. And I'm ready and able to take questions as and when is necessary. I hope that made sense.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks, Greg. And yeah, we definitely heard you well. So thank you very much. And we definitely have some questions at the end that I'm sure you can touch on. So just lastly, from the MCA, we've got up next Adam Jackson, who's head of large yacht services. So Adam, what updates do you have to share?
Hello, everybody. I'll leave the training side of things to Ajit and Greg to talk about. So I just want to talk about what some of our focus is at Large Yacht Services. So the MCA is committed to building sustainability of the maritime industry. And so at Large Yacht Services, the large yacht focus part of the MCA, we're looking at sustainability within the yacht sector. And so from a crew perspective, we're looking at the career progression prospects within the yacht industry, and we do see things improving in that area. See a lot of progression prospects both ashore and at sea on the yachts, and we're here to support that in any way we can, really, at the MCA. We're also seeing an increased professionalism as well of yacht crew, which is great to see. When we're out on surveys, we're seeing a lot more professionalism. a lot closer synergy to the merchant side, as the merchant side of the industry as well. And as Ajit and Greg both mentioned, we're looking at sort of cross availability of certification as well, so people can move between sectors. One thing I did want to touch on as well is in my role with dealing with a lot of our clients, a lot of our yacht crew, and a lot of crew complaints coming in from an MLC perspective into the MCA as the flag state. The current crisis that we're all in at the moment, I think, has highlighted some areas that probably few people really appreciated before this time, and that's the way a yacht crew member is looked after by the state. A consolidated salary, which is how most yachts are operated, most crew members are paid on consolidated salaries. It just, what an important part I'd like to make clear now here is that that consolidated salary is exactly that. It is a salary which is supposed to cover all aspects of what a PAYE salary, for example, in the UK would be. It looks good from the outside, the consolidated salary. However, you need to remember that a lot of the protections that people expect from their country of residence, from their state, are dependent on paying taxes, making contributions into their country of residence. And I think this COVID-19 crisis certainly highlighted to me that a lot of those protections are not there for people who are not making those contributions, and usually the first time you find out about that as a yacht crew member is when you need it, like now. And so I just wanted to highlight that when you're looking at your next job offer on a yacht, you're next looking at it, look at that salary and take off 30% of it, which is probably what you should be putting away each month to protect you in the future in these kind of scenarios. Another thing sort of related to that as well is the difference between a commercially registered and a privately registered or pleasure registered yacht. It's really important to understand what yacht you are joining or what yacht you're sailing on board. If you are sailing on board a commercially registered yacht, this is regardless of the flag state, if you're sailing on board a commercially registered yacht, you are protected by the Maritime Labour Convention and all of the provisions of that convention. We as flag state can support you. We can go after owners and employment companies in order to give you the rights that you are that the MLC provides you as a seafarer. The problems come, and I've seen this a lot over the last few months, is when the vessel is privately registered, pleasure registered. The MLC does not apply. You are not protected as a crew member on a pleasure registered yacht by the MLC. You may have a contract. You may have a MLC compliant SEA. You may hold one of them. However, we cannot enforce that as the flag state. That's not something the flag state can get involved in. And unfortunately, I've had to deal with that quite a lot over the last few months, where I've had to advise crew members, look, I'm really sorry. Your vessel is the yacht you're on is a pleasure registered yacht, and there's not a lot we can do about that, and so it's just really important that you are aware as a crew member of what type of vessel you are on, how it is registered. The certificate of registry will be there on board. The captain will be able to advise you what type of vessel it is, whether it's pleasure or commercial registered. It's often quite difficult to identify that, but yeah, you should be able to find out, and you should know that. So that was probably about as much as I wanted to say there. So thank you very much.
Brilliant. Thanks, Adam. I think that's a definitely important point that we've actually touched on recently in some of our webinars. So thank you for raising that. I'll just move on quickly to Richard Falk, who's Director of Training and Qualifications at the RYA. Richard, what update do you have for us?
Thanks, Stacey, and good afternoon, everybody. quite a bit. It's been a busy old time for all of us. So the RYA has been open for business throughout this, with a 2-week exception, and the training department in particular, and our certification team too. We've all been working from home remotely, but all the phone numbers, all the email addresses, and all the services that seafarers would normally expect and need and want are all still available. The only exception being that there's no fast track facility at this stage. In the UK at the moment, no shore-based training or practical RYA training can take place at this stage, other than a very small number of unique scenarios where there are essential services and so on that use RYA training for the police, fire service and so on. But for the most part in the UK, there's nothing happening within the commercial side of things. Overseas, we're already starting to see those restrictions lifting. We're in 58 different countries, so we're actually working in a number of different scenarios, and the restrictions are being eased at different rates and with different specifications for each of them. So our training centres are obviously needing to comply with the requirements in each of those countries. I'm very pleased to say that when all of this started, we already had a very well-established e-learning platform, which has been working well through 16 training centres that offer a whole suite of RYA training courses right through this period. And in addition, a number of our shore-based centres have also taken what would normally be a classroom course and have been delivering that online using various video conferencing platforms. Obviously, the only thing they can't deliver as part of that is the end of course assessment. So there will be a backlog of those, but students understand that, and arrangements can be put in place for those assessments to take place as and when restrictions allow that. Outside of the UK, we are starting to see RYA courses now taking place, some in Italy, some in France, some in Spain, Australia, Portugal, and it varies quite significantly from one region to another within each of those countries as well. So for those crew that are looking for courses, there are some starting to run now. In terms of exams, again, in the UK, there are no practical exams taking place. And at the moment, there are only a small number of locations around the world where those practical exams can take place. But we are seeing those restrictions lifting week by week, country by country. So I would hope that perhaps within the next 4 weeks, we'll see quite a significant shift of that in a number of different countries. We are in the process of looking at oral exams for Yachtmaster Ocean being able to be done via video conference. We've already been in discussions with the MCA about that. We have agreement in principle, and we're just putting in place the mechanism to allow that. And as soon as that is available, we'll be advising our examiners and also our training centres. So I would hope that within the next few weeks, we will be in a position to offer oral exams for Yachtmaster Ocean. Commercial endorsements for those working within the sector that require a commercial endorsement on an RYA qualification, in line with the MCA actions as far as certificates of competence, we've extended those commercial endorsements that are expiring between the 1st of March and September. We're extending those out to the 30th of September, so mirroring the MCA's approach to that. And we've done the same with RYA instructor qualifications as well. They are extended out for obvious reasons. And then the final point really is just with regards inspections. Obviously, we run the Superyacht Personal Watercraft Safety Scheme within the Superyacht sector. And we have a large number of inspections that obviously have been delayed postponed as a result of the current situation. We are starting to see some of those restrictions being lifted, and that is allowing some of those inspections to now take place. Obviously, we are prioritising new yachts, so those yachts that are desperately waiting for their first inspection. And obviously, we're having to use only those inspectors that are in place in France and Spain and so on, given that there's virtually no air travel allowed at this stage. So there are inspectors in the Med, and they are able to conduct those inspections where the regulations in a given country, in a given region, allow that to occur. So that's it from an RYA perspective, but I'll be very happy to take questions later on. Thank you.
Brilliant. Thanks, Richard. That's a very comprehensive update. So just finally on our agenda, we've got Joey Mean, who will give us an update on interior training, so from guests and IME. Over to you, Joey.
Thank you very much, Stacey. Having now remembered to unmute myself, I can now speak. Thank you for having me on the panel. It's nice to see everybody again. We've also been quite busy in the IAMI camp with particularly on the interior training side of things. With the guest program in particular, the Maritime Hospitality Subgroup hasn't managed to host a meeting that we were supposed to host. So there's a few pending projects that would have been exciting launches that we would have been doing at some of the shows that we've obviously missed. So hopefully there'll be some things to announce later in the year on a few bits and pieces. But for the guest program, we've certainly been busy. Similar to MCA and RYA, we've worked hard to get blended learning criteria in place, which we've now got. We've got three schools, I think, a few more applying now, to run the e-learning project programs of the training. Some of it online, some of it face-to-face. There's a strategy we put in place here to try and match the requirements for each particular unit. So anything that's sort of more admin-based, it's fine to do that online. With the practical stuff, we needed to make sure students understood that there would be obviously practical workshops, and the practical assessments, final assessments would have to be arranged once travel was possible. So that's all going very well. We've got a lot of students that have been asking for it, hence the trigger to pull this project. And so we're excited to get that launched. So that's a good thing. We're using various mediums. We haven't specified how this is rolled out for the training providers, but we're just letting them work things out themselves. It's not something that many of the training providers have done before in this particular capacity. But they seem to be managing very well, and the feedback has been very, very positive. And we've also been working hard on launching another level to the guest program. So we've got the introduction, the advanced, and the management, and now we've gone into the PERSA level. Very excited to say that we've now launched four extra modules to cover the PERSA program. We've got three schools pending approval. So that's something that we're working through now, and that hopefully should be rolled out in the next 2 or 3 weeks, which I think is going to be exciting. The PERSA training can be done online. There's very little practical assessment there, but obviously that will come with the normal face-to-face tuition and support that the program or the strategy is requiring them to follow. I think that's pretty much as I can say at the moment. IAMI's been functioning as much as possible from home. The exams, as Ajit had pointed out, has been continuing. Working with MCA on that. I don't know if John wants to add anything or knows any more about that side of things, but I believe that that's all been working and going very smoothly still, despite the situation or in spite of it. That's as much as I've got to add right now. Thank you.
Brilliant. Thanks, Joey. I think that was a great update. And I can see that we've got about 15 minutes left on our schedule. So I'll dive straight into the questions. I'm going to go through them quite quickly. I'll open the questions to the floor. So whoever, you know, would like to answer, feel free just to jump in straight away. The first question.
Can I come in with a statement, first of all, please?
Yes, absolutely. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say, does everyone know that the yacht engineering route has been extended by 6 months? The cutoff date was June next year, but that's been extended to January 2022. That's right. Just want to get that out there to make sure everybody understands that. Yeah.
Thanks, Greg. We had actually sent an update to our members on that, but thank you for highlighting that. I think that's really important.
Thank you.
Brilliant. So this question's for the MCA. So right now, the seafarers are sending their NOE applications to the MCA by email, and the PYA is following up with their verified sea time by email as well via letter and not the service record book as usual. So the question is, could this be continued after the COVID-19 situation too? So no physical SRB, but a digital substitute. And then will people who've already sent you an NOE application by email have to send you the physical application by post at some point? So I'll leave it there, those two questions, and then there's one additional tag onto that question.
As answer to that question, see, this has been started as a pilot project, obviously, as a measure because of the COVID-19. The important thing is we continue it to such time as the circumstances don't change and we see how it's working. And whatever we learn from it, the positive side of things, we will certainly continue. And that's the intention. So I mean, it's not a clear cut yes or no answer, but whatever is advantageous to us, we'll certainly continue with that.
Brilliant. Thanks, Ajit. And just to clarify, so those who've sent their NOE application by email, will they have to send you a physical application by post at some point as well?
But there's no duplication required. I mean, the guidance should be out there. So they do not have to submit it again. So unless there is any certificate or any record book that we need to see physically, which is the case with TRB for Merchant Navy, but not for applications as such.
Perfect. Thanks, Ajit. Brian, I think you might be able to answer this next question. You might have touched on it in your update, but has the official date been announced for when the MCA is going to officially open again?
I guess we are officially open at the moment. I hope I've got several hundred people working out there, the impression that I do. They're telling me that they're doing it. We're very much open for business. There's one or two areas which have been slightly more difficult to get kicked off again, and we talked about oral exams earlier. I think other than that, it's happening. It's proved to be a useful stimulus to get, for example, online ship registration. That's all happened. And in Ajit's area, we've a bundle of work going on to simplify processes in a big way, which is why Ajit's indicated this. Some of the simplifications you're seeing in documentation at the moment are really a bit of a pilot that we hope will be successful and we can make the whole process simpler for everyone. So, yeah, for us, it's really business as usual at the moment.
Brilliant. Thanks for that clarification, Brian. Just to touch back on the NOEs, I can see we've got another question here on when will the MCA actually start issuing NOEs for people who've already applied online?
We will release MIN 620. I think it's been finalized today. Tomorrow it will be published if it is not already, as not today. So tomorrow it will be out in the public. So it gives the sequence of as how the NOAs, the order of in which the NOAs would be done. The idea is to clear the backlog now for existing candidates who have who had their oral exam suspended because of COVID-19. So subsequent to that, there's a specific order in which we will accept applications for NOE and issue them. Priority will be given to candidates for first ticket holders, because that's their livelihood. Without that, they can't get on board a vessel. So that's a priority, but it will be set out in MIN 620.
Brilliant. Thanks, Ajit, for that update. And you probably will be able to answer this next question. And that's just, what should seafarers do if they have an NOE but have not yet scheduled orals before lockdown, and now their current COC or certificates are expiring?
No. So for the situation where the COCs are expiring, obviously there's an extension route. We are extending it for 6 months. Regardless of whether they've done the refresher courses or not, because the refresher courses are not available right now. So 6 months extension is there. So in terms of sending the NOE for booking an oral exam, the existing backlog will be cleared. As I said, the order of which we will accept NOE is being set out in MIN 620. However, if anybody needs an exam for joining a vessel, and if we get a letter from the company saying that they want the candidate to join a vessel immediately, then we will give priority to that candidate. Once we start the deck oral exams.
Okay, brilliant. Thank you. And if someone is, so if they say 1 month short or possibly less of completing their sea time to apply for an NOE, so this would, in this example, for someone who's applying for OOW 3000 or other, and could not or cannot complete their sea time due to COVID-19 or delayed, and their current employer or captain is pressing them, can they apply even though their sea time is short and ask to be considered as a special case?
So what we have said is we will accept NOEs and issue them for the candidate who have completed all the requirements, because they are ready and they're about to join ship and they've done the needful. The second category is those guys who are a little bit less short of sea time. So we said provided they have met the requirements up to 1 month, but we will start with probably 15 days. Whoever is 15 days short, let them apply first for the NOE, because the circumstances might change and they might be able to go on ships. So we will take it bit by bit, 15 days, and then if still they cannot get sea time because they are not able to join vessel and the COVID-19 scenario has not improved, then obviously we will give them the opportunity to do other things while they get that sea time. So we will issue them an NOE and they can do the other aspects, other subjects and exams while they wait for that final sea time.
Perfect. Thanks, Ajit. So I think the next question, and again, this might be, Ajit, you might be able to answer this one, but will finished modules stay valid longer because of lost time? So for example, because crew have not been able to finish sea time and TRB due to COVID-19.
Yes, we have been very clear. No candidate is going to get penalized for a delay that has happened because of COVID-19. So anything that expires or is about to expire, we will give them extension if this was because of not able to do things because of the COVID-19 situation.
Perfect. Thank you, Ajit. So the next question, I think, Adam, you might be able to answer this. So the COVID-19 situation has caused a rise of a lot of disputes on crew wages, repatriation, days of leave, and other issues. Would the MCA be willing to discuss the approval or endorsement of a PYA Seafarers Employment Agreement sample, which we will draft and propose to our members?
Absolutely, yeah. We're always open to the industry initiatives such as that proposed. So yeah, we're happy to look at anything and to work with different organisations as well to try and improve things for yacht crew.
Brilliant. Thanks, Adam. I'll jump on quickly to the next question. So this one is regarding OOW 3000 exams. So when can we expect DEC OOW 3000 exams to commence? Is it likely they will be run at MCA exam centres, or is the possibility of online OR exams still on the table? I know, Brian, you mentioned the MCA is looking into oral exams being hosted online. I don't know if anyone wants to provide a bit more clarification on this.
Probably one for Ajit, to be honest, if you don't mind, Ajit.
Yes. Yeah. The question, was it about online exams or written exams? Because for online exams, we've already started it, and engineering exams is already happening, and the nautical exams will happen from end of June.
So this question was specifically about online oral exams, which I know you've said have already started.
Stacey, can I ask you a question?
Yeah, go ahead, John.
I'd just like to ask the MCA, any of them can pick this up, but I was having a chat with an investigator from the MAIB recently about some yacht accidents. And it does seem to be that some flags where yachts are registered seem to take 4 or 5 years to publish the accident report, even when a seafarer actually dies. Whereas I believe that the MAIB have to get the report out within a year. Is there any way that there could be a sort of a unified red ensign policy on how accidents are treated within the red ensign fleet? Because there seems to be quite a disparity.
Let me try and pick that one up, maybe John. It's a really, really interesting point. Of course, I'm here with two hats on, a UK hat and a Red Ensign group hat on. I would say it, wouldn't I? But it's one of the advantages of being flagged with the UK. I did talk about substance in the bad times as well as the good ones. You're right, though, of course, being slightly mischievous there. It is something that ought to be more consistent amongst the Red Ensign group. Let me take that one away. It's a really good point. I don't think any of the Red Ensign group would want to be sort of classified amongst the flags of convenience that don't care about this sort of stuff.
Okay. Can I have a follow-on question?
Yes, John, open to you if you want to run a few questions, and then I'll go over to the questions that were asked in the chat.
Well, I just wanted to pick up on a question that Adrian Croft raised, which actually links in with what Brian said in his early intro. He was talking about the fact that there might be a requirement as you revalidate your CAC to have some form of assessment to ensure that you've maintained your skills as you go through and do that. This is probably one for Ajit, is there any idea at the moment about what form this type of assessment would take? Would it be some form of written exam, oral exam, or something in a simulator?
John, what Brian said is based on the fact that technology is fast changing, and it's often seen that the guys, the staff who seafarers who qualified now, in 5 years' time, they might not have the requisite knowledge to keep up with the new technology. So hence the reason, in what form or shape that will be, it's yet to be decided. It could be simulator-based, or it could be a package where a seafarer is given training of what has happened in the last 5 years, the new technology. So the basis is there for us to create something, but it's still early days. So it will be proposed to IMO as well in future.
Just to add to a little bit to what Ajit said, I think one of the things I'm quite excited about with the Maritime Skills Commission, John, is an opportunity to look at some of those fundamentals of the way that we train and certify within the UK and use STCW. From a limited knowledge of the sector, but knowing some other sectors, I anticipate some requirements around continued professional development, and it would be logical to make a lot of use of simulators in that recertification, I would have thought. And I think one of the opportunities with the Maritime Skills Commission is to bring in not just the sort of breadth of experience within maritime, but also to bring in some of the experiences elsewhere where technology changes is pretty rapid and people have to keep up with technology. So I think all of that's on the table at the moment.
Brilliant. I don't know if you've got any more questions, John.
Well, if you've got another one from the list, I'm just looking through it now, Stacey, but if you've got another one there ready, then go ahead.
Okay, so one of the questions that came through in the chat is, so I'll just start from the top. So does the MCA have a dedicated team working on e-certificates, in particular for CFARE certification and or C-service verification? It just said, yeah, IMO guidelines were first sent out to flag states in April 2016. So the same question has been asked to the MCA, but also to IME and RYA.
If the question is about e-certification, see, we are looking at changing our certification, even the COCs and the certificates we issue to electronic format. But it's not a quick process. There's a lot to be done, which would mean that the ancillary certificates as well that we that is issued under MCA's approval need to be done in an electronic manner as well. So that project will be starting, and it will take some time, but the intention is to have electronic certification in future.
Brilliant, thanks, Ajit. Joey, do you want to answer that from your side, or Richard?
From the IAMI side, John, you might know more than me about this, being on the board as well, but I don't believe at the moment that that's in under discussion.
No, not as far as I'm aware, but of course we're open to ideas. These are fast changing times, so we need to keep open minds. One thing that is on our agenda, most of you will know that all of the yacht training providers, we all work together, even though we're commercial competitors, and we work together through IAMI, and we have a working group that meets three times a year to talk about sort of all our issues. And one of the issues that I want to raise at our next working group is not just about online oral exams, but online written exams. Now, I suspect I'll have a mission to persuade our colleagues at the MCA initially about this, but I feel quite strongly about it, and I'm looking around for ideas about how it can be done. Because if you think about it, if you do a course in a Zoom classroom, and then the candidate's got to wait 3 weeks until they can turn up at an MCA approved exam centre to take the written paper, it's going to be a tough sell. And I think there are ways that you can assess people for certain courses, not the practical courses, but for certain courses in an online environment, provided you can verify that it's really them and that nobody's feeding them the answers. And I think that's the challenge. We're going to discuss that. I think we can, and we'll have a good discussion about it.
Add it to the agenda.
Yes, it's on.
Okay, and Richard here, and I can give a little bit of an update on where the RYA is with e-certificates. We are in the middle right now of what we're referring to as a digital transformation, as if there wasn't quite enough going on. So we have an 18-month long project, which is completely changing the entire digital platform that all of our business sits on. That will give us the, if you like, the platform that would allow us to move towards digital certificates. We have a little bit more challenge, I guess, than the MCA does, in that we have over 100 different qualifications and courses. They range from everything from 200-ton commercial ticket down to someone doing a windsurfing course. And the needs and wants of the end user vary drastically from one to another. But actually, when we did some scoping on this about 18 months ago, what we found was that in the commercial sector, whilst the flag states themselves in some cases might have had a willingness or an ability to utilise, check, access, interrogate e-certificates, digital certificates, the vast majority around the world didn't. So whilst the user might like a digital certificate, that's not much use to them if the country they arrive into has no mechanism when the port police board that vessel and want to look at their qualifications if the port police have no means of actually interrogating that and verifying it. So it's slightly chicken and egg, but it's most definitely on the radar. And we will most definitely have within about 12 months a facility for a seafarer that has a commercial ticket to demonstrate online on the RYA system that that certificate exists. So that will certainly happen. It won't look like a certificate, but it will be a confirmation of the qualification that person holds and what its expiry date might be.
Brilliant. Thanks, Richard. I'm just looking at the time. So we've gone over a little bit. John, I don't know if there's anything that you want to discuss at this point. If not, I can take one more question from the chat. Also over to the floor, if anyone wants to raise anything right now in the last few minutes, and then we can tie it up.
Just to round off that last point, the Nautical Institute done a webinar recently about blockchain technology and digital certificates. I haven't attended it, but I believe it's recorded and you can go and do it. So I'm going to get the link. I think Steve Thomas has got the link. In fact, I think he sent it to me. But if anyone else is interested, I'll send me an email and I'll forward it to you, because I think there is definitely a mission to be done there.
Brilliant. Thanks, John. Does anyone else want to raise any last points before I just go through one last question? No? Okay. So the last question I'll just bring up here from the chat. So this one's from Anne Percival Harris. So can the MCA tell us if they have made any progress into looking at how written IOME yacht deck and SQA yacht small vessel engineering exams can be done online? The UK training providers are a long way from being able to hold written exams in the classroom, so an online solution is required.
Thank you, Anna.
So I think John touched on that. So John said, you know, we should be trying to do the exams, the written exams, using an online platform as well. See, in these challenging times, we have started online oral exams and delivery of courses online, assessments online, but along with the practical aspects of the training, the only other thing that we are not being able to achieve as desired is the written exams. So certainly, if there is a case or if there are other means for that to be done in an alternative manner, then we should be looking into it. And I'm open to ideas. I myself have tried to look at how GMAT exams for MBA entrances are being done in US, where they use a complete score-based online technology. I've discussed with the others as well. There seems to be a view that because chart work is being done and they have to use parallel rulers, other things, then would they not need that? But I think if we can consider all these aspects and if we come out with a robust exam system, then there's no reason as to why we cannot switch to online exams. So I think we can certainly explore that at this moment.
Brilliant. I'd just like to say that I think the MCA have been very flexible and responsive during this crisis. I think it's, although it's been difficult for everybody, I think some leaps forward will be made, which will actually benefit us all in the future. So there is a silver lining to all this, and I think the MCA have been very proactive.
Perfect. Thanks, Ajit, and thanks everyone for responding to those questions. Just to let everyone who's attended know, obviously we've received quite a lot of questions. So what we'll try and do is we'll compile a few of those questions, we can potentially discuss those with all of our panelists after the webinar, and we'll release a news or blog update to try and answer some of those questions. But yeah, just, I guess, just a final word, just to say thank you to all the panelists for joining us today. Thanks to the MCA, ROIA and IARMI for joining us. I think, it's great to get an update at this point in 2020, when I think there's been so much upheaval and change. So it's really good to know sort of where we're standing at the moment with a lot of the points that were raised. The PYA hosts Sea Changes every year. So obviously, this is our first time doing it as a webinar. So thank you for everyone who's joined us on the webinar. And hopefully, we'll have the event again next year. All events go ahead next year. So just thank you to everyone. And thank you for all the attendees who joined. I guess a last word to anyone who wants to reach out to us. You can email info@pya.org if you've got a question, or if you'd like to become a member, and we've got the special discount, which I shared in the chat. So thanks to everyone.
Thank you, Stacey.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, everyone. Have a good rest of your evening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Thank you. Bye all.
Bye.
Bye.